Strachan and Bell together. There's Cooper breaking through. A chance now, this will be the fourth ball for Aberdeen. Cooper puts it in with tremendous finish. Well, suddenly it's become a rout.
Of course, when things are going wrong against you, you don't get the breaks of the ball. Cooper in with Stewart. He didn't really know where the ball was, but he got the break, and as you say, it's a schoolboy's dream, being able to take your time, knowing that really all you got to do is crack it into the back of the net.
So hello and welcome to the latest Here We Go podcast. After a stop-start season, you find us when the Dons have finally gained some momentum. Back-to-back Pittodrie wins over Dundee and Hearts have made it four league wins in a trot and set up a pivotal clash with Celtic on Boxing Day. Now joining me to discuss all that, and then some more, are firstly, a voice that will be familiar to you if you listen to the NFL Scotland podcast that he hosts with Paul Mitchell. It's Cameron Hobbs. Cameron, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks for having me.
Excellent to have you on. So let's have a little bit of your Don supporting background, Cameron. How long have you had this particular affliction?
So I really became and fell in love with the Dons at the age of 13. A friend of the family was Michael Watt, the goalkeeper, who, you know, many of you will remember. Some of you might be too young to. But Michael managed to get me tickets to games. And quite often I would end up, if we were up at Pittodrie, I'd end up in the players' lounge. So the first time I ever went to Pittodrie was to a Motherwell game. Sadly, we lost. But I was picked up by Scott Booth's dad, taken to the game. At halftime, I sat in the players' lounge with Ian Jess and Ilian Kiriakov. I think this summed the two players up perfectly. Ian Jess with his broken foot, you know, totally plastered up, and Ilian Kiriakov smoking the biggest cigar I've ever seen to date. Absolutely huge. So fell in love with the Dons then. It was one of those ones as well where, when I was young, I used to call Michael's mum and dad auntie and uncle, but didn't realise that they were fake aunts and uncles. So I went around as a youngster telling everyone that Michael Watt was my cousin. And by the point I realised this wasn't actually the case, I was in too deep. So I've lived with that lie to this day. So this might be my confession as well as my first podcast appearance. But, you know, fell in love with the Dons. So season 93-94 was really my first season. So unfortunately I'm of an age where people think I might have been a bit of a glory hunter, but let me tell you, I'm anything but, because the first full season I followed the Dons was the season we finished in the second bottom and had to scrape past Dunfermline 6-2 in aggregate in the playoffs just to survive in the top division. So it's been a roller coaster. It's been a roller coaster.
Yeah, probably more lows than highs if you're kicking off in 94-95. Well, let's talk about the highs. So what has been your favourite moment you've seen in the flesh?
So I think favourite moments, obviously, winning the League Cup a couple of years ago at Celtic Park. You know, that's the one title I was actually there for when we won it. That was absolutely brilliant. I think my favourite game that I went to, though, was my first Aberdeen Rangers game at Pittodrie, where Ricky Gillis scored the only goal of the game as we beat Rangers 1-0 and pretty much stopped 10 in a row. And the bounce in the Richard Donald stand that day was something unreal. Absolutely brilliant. Loved it. And at that point, I was hooked. You know, I've been very lucky. I've seen us beat Rangers more than I've seen Rangers beat us. That probably says as much about how often I get to Pittodrie as anything. But, you know, absolutely brilliant. Totally hooked. Other than that, I think the game against Copenhagen, obviously, is up there as an absolute brilliant one. And, you know, that's obviously come round again because it's pretty much 10 years to the day. And when you look back at that team, I still find myself going, how did we ever do that with that team? But we did it, and it was absolutely brilliant.
Okay, well, I think you've passed the test. Great to have you on camera. But then, like a lingering winter cold, I've not been able to shake him off. It's Martin Clunas. Martin, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing grand, Richard.
You know, I take the piss out of Martin most weeks. But if it wasn't for him, it would just be me ranting nonsense in front of a microphone by myself. Can you quite believe how horrific a prospect that would be? One random punter expecting nonsense with no one to put him right. God, it would be awful. Totally unwatchable. Wait, I mean, unlistenable, don't I? Anyway, on to the football and the visit of Dundee to Pittodrie. They've been welcome visitors, as it's going to come up to about 15 years now since the last one at Pittodrie. The team lines, first of all, Cameron, unchanged from the lineup at St Mirren. You understand that, obviously, but the lack of rotation, it's going to lead to a bit of fatigue, maybe not even now, but perhaps later in the season. We've seen that before with under Derek McInnes, haven't we?
Yeah, definitely, and it is. You're right. It's something that's going to be a worry, and I think more so for the younger guys. We've got a very young team coming through now, and it's something that you can maybe expect. Some of these guys have been doing this for years and years, know how to look after themselves in a way that they've got these end-to-end games coming up. Perhaps these younger guys haven't got that. So that would be the one worry. The only thing that we've got is the winter break coming up, which maybe means that they can see a little bit of respite ahead, so they might just have enough in the tank to get them through. That's what you've got to hope for anyway.
I think that is an important point, Martin. I think in the early couple of years when that burnout was clearly a factor towards the end of the season and the performances went off a cliff, I don't think we actually had the winter break, whereas at least now we've got a couple of weeks, they can rest, they can get away with their families, and then of course they get the time in Dubai as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a busy spell. You know, we spoke when it was coming up for the start of December, talking about how, you know, this is going to be could be a nightmare month for us. I mean, it's turned out not bad. You kind of just think that maybe the manager said to him, look, you know, there's a winter break coming up. Give us what you have, and you'll really deserve this break. And there's no game after, was it the 29th of December? There's no game until the 19th of January. So, the guys will really have earned their rest. There's been some great victories so far. Still, hopefully, a couple more to come. I guess that. It's a, you know, like you mentioned there, it's about, you know, do you really want to change a winning side as well? I suppose it's important to continue with players who after some of these games will be full of confidence, you know. The win at Ibrox, for example, you know, kind of gives the players a boost, puffs out the chest, and these players, though, have deserved to be in the side. You know, there's nobody really you could say, oh, we really should have dropped him. So I think he's right to kind of continue with, you know, with who we have, given the fact that there is no three and a half weeks, whatever it is, off.
Now on the night, the Dons were able to cut loose a little bit, and it was great to see because goal scoring has been an issue so far this term. The first goal comes in the first quarter of an hour, and it really is all about that cross from Conor McLennan. It's just, you understand that Gary Mackay-Steven might be away next summer, and that seemed like a really daunting prospect a couple of months ago. But Cameron, it's becoming a bit more palatable with the emergence of Conor, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think Conor's got that thing about him that, for me, Ryan Fraser had when he first came onto the scene, and that he's got confidence and he's got drive. You know, Ryan Fraser was small, but he just took people on, you know, buzzing with confidence, getting dangerous balls into the box. And Sam Cosgrove is finding form, finding confidence, and is thriving on these now. And I think that, you know, a lot's been said about Scott Wright. You know, for the last couple of years, there's been a lot of people shouting for him to get his opportunity. And at times, he's looked really good. But as with any young player, they're not going to play brilliantly every week. And I think that, unfortunately for Scott, sometimes when he's off the boil, he can almost be a passenger in the game. Someone with Connor's size means that he can contribute, even if necessarily his drive and attacking ability isn't there. He can still make up a large space and add some physicality in the midfield as well. So I think he's been really important over the last couple of games, and I think he's going to be really important over the rest of the season. Like you say, when Gary Mackay-Stevens went down, we did worry. We thought, oh, hang on, you know, this is supposed to be a run of games. It's meant to be easy. You know, I say that with inverted commas. There's no such thing as an easy game in the Premiership, certainly not for Aberdeen, and we've seen that time and time again. But, you know, you're worried, okay, is all the dependency now going to be on McGinn when we've seen that before? He maybe struggles. So great that Connor's come in, taking his opportunity, and is in a fine vein of form as well. And Sam Cosgrove can thank McLennan as much as anybody for his form as well.
Yeah, for all the fact that it was a brilliant ball in from Connor, there had to be someone there, someone leading the line. And far too often this season, Martin, we play the striker who doesn't seem to want to lead the line and really occupy the defenders. And Sam right now, he's really playing like a striker, when maybe in his early appearances he was just a bit too timid to really do that role successfully. He's occupying the centre-halves, and he's also reacting very well, like you'd expect a striker to do when balls come into the box. That first goal on Tuesday, a real object lesson in that.
Yeah, I mean, he seems to be that. He's starting to find the space that maybe, you know, in previous games we hadn't seen him. So he's maybe finding that little yard. I mean, Dundee, you know, I'm sure we'll come on it. Dundee were very, very poor defensively. But no, that comes from the fact that Cosgrove gave them a torrid time. He was finding the room. He was getting in among them. He was dragging them out of position. And it shows what happens when a guy just has a little bit of confidence, gets a goal, and a guy, and it, no, he has been a bit a figure of fun. But now he's got some confidence. And you say, I can't really word it better than you say there. It's like he's actually playing like a striker. He's doing everything that we'd fully expect of him. And yet, it has seriously helped the fact that Conor McLennan has been in some rich vein of form as well. That ball was just great. You want to see that coming from him. And hopefully, no, long may that continue from him as well. But Cosgrove, just, you know, we were kind of worried about him. I think that and I don't just mean us on here. I mean Aberdeen fans in general. We're worried that we've signed this guy, you know, who is, you know, he's going to be nothing. He's going to be away in 6 months, 8 months, whenever. And we seem to have kind of, we're getting the best from him. You know, nobody, you know, his scoring record wasn't great before. But he's still a very young player. But no, dare I say it, and I'm conscious of getting ahead of myself here. We actually have maybe uncovered a bit of a hidden gem here.
Let's let that hang for a second or two, and just so I can clip it for later in the season. But I also get the feeling, Cameron, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but it's maybe the first spell this season where our strikers have had the service that allows them to score the goals, that takes the heat off them and gives them that bit of confidence. Because far too often, again, I talked about maybe our central striker being too timid, but far too often, I think, beforehand, maybe we've seen our attacking midfielders turn back and play the easy ball rather than trying to take a guy on. And again, that comes down to somebody like Conor McLennan, who just again and again wants the ball and will go at his fullback.
I think, do you know what, in the summer we lost two of our most important attacking players, and Christie going back to Celtic and not coming back again, and obviously Kenny McLean going away. Now, the season before we lost Johnny Hayes, we've seen a lot of turnover in the attacking side of things, and I think it's really hard to get that consistency and momentum going forward. Now, you've got that in defence and you've got that in attack. Now, I think what we've done this season is we've really built solid at the back. And that's been the foundation on which the team's been built. And it's taken a few games to really get going. Now, ultimately, what we've ended up with here is that a couple of the new guys, you know, Gleeson and Forrester, haven't really broken into the team. And instead, the younger guys who've maybe been around the club have kind of worked their way in. When Cosgrove came in, we were told this was an experiment. You know, he made his debut against Celtic, got sent off. We were told, you know, he was playing because we had to play him. He wasn't really ready. And, you know, even pre-season, I went up to the Arbroath game, and I remember watching both Cosgrove and Forrester. And Cosgrove, every time the ball went up to him, it felt like it just pinged off his shin and went flying off in a direction he didn't want it to go in. And I actually thought Forrester looked really classy and intelligent when he came on. Now, if you come to where we are now, it's the complete opposite. And actually, it's Cosgrove that's doing the great hold-up play, distributing the ball lovely and getting the dangerous head on in the box, which is what he's there to do. And Forrester really hasn't looked anything like a player at all. So it's been a little bit of that consistency. I think having the same team helps. These players get to start to work together and work on particular moves. They build up link-up play. But I think it's really all based on that solid foundation at the back. Because if the attackers aren't having to track back, then it means they can focus more on going forward. And I think that's what we're starting to see.
Well, let's expand a little bit more on a point that Cameron raises there, Martin. A lot of people looked at this run of fixtures, these 9 games in December, with a bit of trepidation. But I kind of wonder, and this was posed on Twitter this afternoon, if this run of games, the first solid run probably there's been without an international break or League Cup duties coming in, has maybe actually helped us find some form and find a consistent selection.
I think that could be true, yeah. I mean, you know, when you've got this season, I don't think we've really been apart from the last couple of games, we haven't really been flying. You know, we haven't really found our feet. And obviously injuries. You know, injuries to someone like Devlin doesn't help a lot. Mackay Stephen as well. But having this run of games together, yeah. I mean, there was the worry. I was worried that the run of games would perhaps be too much. And you know, the St Johnstone result in the middle of it is probably, you know, where you go, okay, this is where something's going to go wrong. But you come back, you know, from that St Johnstone game with, 3 days later, and you manage to beat Livingston. And they answer the questions that, you know, oh, is this it now? Is this just going back to where we were? And we've dug out some results. You know, St Mirren was was a proper dig out of resulting conditions and things like that. But I don't think I need to repeat my opinions about the international breaks here. All I really care about is Aberdeen and are doing well. So I see the international breaks, despite the fact our players are involved in it now, as a total inconvenience. And I obviously want Aberdeen to be doing the best they possibly can. So when you get a chance to have, what, 9 games, whatever, in such a short spell of time, there is obviously the worry, but we've taken hold of it. And losing the cup final was crushing, but answering it a few days later with a win at Ibrox, it's how we respond to these things, and I think we've responded really well to some challenging times this season.
Well, it wasn't really very challenging on Tuesday, but for the second successive Tuesday night, we got the early goal, but we didn't immediately hand the initiative back to the visitors. And really, I kind of feel that the Livingston game could have gone a bit like the Dundee game had if we didn't immediately give them a goal back. Our second, though, probably showcases the vast difference between Dundee and Livingston, because the defending for that second, it's just atrocious. Sam Cosgrove does really, really well. He takes advantage of the space. He drives on at pace, and it's a neat low finish. But that's not Premier League level defending, is it, Cameron?
No, it's really not. And we can see that from Dundee's performances this season. They've been massively disappointing. And Livingston is a funny one. Livingston's away form is terrible. Their home form is superb. And actually, I think, we'll probably come on to this later on, but I think we face a very different test when we have to go through to the Tony Macaroni. But Dundee really are in disarray. And I think that just showed, they crumbled under any kind of pressure. And Sam's size just allowed them that opportunity to bully the Dundee defenders. And that was instrumental in, like you say, grinding out what was a convincing victory in the end.
We'll come back to Cosgrove later, so I'm not going to dwell too much on the second goal. But if we thought the second goal was bad defending, Jesus. As Andy Considine, has a player ever had more space from an attacking corner to score as Andy Considine did on Tuesday night, Martin?
I don't think so, yeah. I mean, you can see where it came from, They made a sub because the guy was injured, so fair enough, you have to take off a guy who's struggling with his hamstring, I think it was. And the guy who comes on then doesn't take his place on the post, it's someone else. So they shuffle it about and there's confusion there. And that's what happens when you're struggling and you're having a tough time, is that, things like that happen where, there's confusion in the centre of defence. They don't know what they're doing. But the marking is a disgrace. I mean, if Considine is coming up for a set piece from a corner, you mark him. If McKenna's coming up, you mark him. He's not going up there for a laugh. He's going up there because he's a threat and he's there to score goals. And to be in that much room and then two of their players to be on the floor having fallen over while trying to make a challenge was really unforgivable. I mean, I spoke to, obviously, Jamie, who's been on the podcast before, the Dundee fan, and he just attributes this. Dundee says, defensively wise, they're just soft at the moment. As there's like a soft centre, and as soon as anything goes against them, the heart just disappears from the team. And that's really what we saw on Tuesday. It was just, as soon as we got that first goal, they didn't look like really troubling us. Second one comes, and then, but that third one just, no, it was a good header by Considine, but no, he gets it on target and he puts it in, and you'd be absolutely furious if you're a Dundee fan watching that, because it's unforgivable really for defending.
And if that hadn't killed the game, then the fourth, but a few minutes later, absolutely did. We're fortunate with this one, Cameron. I don't think there's any doubt about that. It is offside. I'd kind of rather have that kind of lucky decision in a more, in a closer game, frankly.
Yes, totally. It is offside. And I think it's one of those ones where McGinn's made an effort to try and take himself out of play, but in the position that he's in, he can't help but interfere. He runs across the path of the defender, taking himself out of the game, naturally then interfering. So, yeah, you're right. We can consider ourselves lucky with that one. And, yeah, we could do with it against Celtic or something like that. We'd much rather have it then, please.
Ooh, imagine the seed if that sort of goal was scored against Celtic. Just imagine. You could power Scotland for a decade. So 5-1, absolutely no complaints with that. Dundee dispensed with the absolute minimum of fuss. A real feel-good evening around Pittodrie. And, more goals for Sam Cosgrove at that stage. It was three matches in a row. So we come to the visit Hearts this weekend. And I suppose after Hearts had let in five at Livingston in the match before. I think we all expected a totally uber version of Levine ball to be demonstrated by the visitors. So to get that early goal was the absolute perfect antidote to that. And it's really solid work by Stevie May, isn't it, Martin? Because the safe option would just have been to let the ball run out for a corner kick, take the safe option, give somebody else the responsibility of trying to get a good ball into the box. But you could see that we had good numbers in the box, with three red shirts in the box against four or five Hearts defenders. So he was absolutely right, and he picked out a good, decent ball into the area, didn't he?
He did, yeah. I mean, it was a really good ball. I'd like to see that early. You know, you think that, you know, that early in the game, you know, you might, like you say, it might just be easy. Just, we'll just take the corner, we'll be fine here. But getting that early goal was such a, it was a really good header as well. Can't take anything away from Cosgrove. You know, there's a point of the goal where the keeper is never going to be saving it, and he found that piece perfectly. You'd be absolutely right to say that about, you know, the Levine ball kind of stuff, you know, and scoring so early, he totally kind of throws their plans up in the air, because we know what they're going to do. They're going to play for fouls, they're going to play for set pieces, they're going to move, they'll work their way slowly up the pitch, and trying to just kind of do play their game that, you know, every Hearts team in the history of football has played since, you know, in living memory. And so it was so great to get such an early goal against a team that, no, could have, had we gone on to during the game, that could have been a really difficult fixture. But we then managed to kind of take control of the game, I thought, with that early goal, which is obviously what happens. You know, the pressure was kind of off of us. But the ball from Stevie May was great, finding Cosgrove like that. What a jump by Cosgrove as well, to get up there. And it was just the perfect start to the game.
Yeah, I can't help but feel, Martin, that you're selling that header a bit short. I'll let Cameron try and eulogise about it a bit more.
It was magnificent. It was like a jumping gazelle, a giraffe with grace. A giraffe with grace, there's a nickname for him. It was beautiful, and it was pinpoint. And so often we've seen him in the run-up to this, when he was the butt of the jokes, where that ball would come across, his head would meet it, and it would go about 20 yards high over the top of the crossbar. But it was just perfect. He's playing with confidence. Fair play to Stevie May as well. He's another one who's come in for a little bit of slack, and obviously he's not churning out the goals that we want. But if he's going to play balls like that into the box, then hey, I'm going to be quite happy with that, because it was absolutely perfect. And a ball like that, with Cosgrove's height, he's the only one there that's going to go up and get it. Berra was made to look completely stupid there. So I thought it was absolutely brilliant. A really clinical piece of finishing, and gives you faith that actually this little run of form might very well be a player coming into his game rather than maybe just a little bit of fortune.
From my point of view, Martin, the fact it was Berra that got comprehensively out-jumped, out-muscled for that, that says a great deal. Says a great deal about where the two sides are right now. You've got Berra, who looked completely unfit, not ready for this level of football, obviously been rushed back because of the situation they find themselves in, and he got nowhere near Sam Cosgrove for the first.
Yeah, he got nowhere near Sam Cosgrove all day, and that's just tough luck for Hearts, isn't it? But yeah, he was... Cosgrove had a fantastic afternoon, and, you know, if it was any team other than Hearts, I may have some sympathy for their defender, but I don't, because I don't like them. Berra just, all afternoon, wasn't at the races, they've got injuries, that's a shame, but we've got injuries as well, and we've had to reshuffle the deck at times. It shows how a manager who has perhaps more than one idea on how to play football can manage his team slightly better than, you know, just constantly shithousing through games. So it's very hard to have sympathy for them. Berra's an international footballer, and he looked, and unfit or not, he looked distinctly average against Sam Cosgrove on Saturday.
I thought the early goal propelled us for that opening 20-25 minutes, Cameron. Really quite dominant during that point, and it seemed as if it was a case of when the next goal is going to come. But then the game got to become a bit more stop-start. Hearts got a lot more possession, albeit mostly their own half between their three centre-halves. And it kind of played into their hands in some respects. And the two chances that, well, the one real stighter goal they had came as a result of a very nicely worked, let's be honest, free kick.
Yeah, absolutely. Had the opportunity there. Lewis had to do really well to get down and block it as well. And actually, the two best chances that Hearts really had both came from free kicks. But, I mean, you've got to look at the statistics from the game as well. And you see possession is pretty close across the game. We had 11 shots to their 4, 3 shots on target to their 1. I think that whilst Hearts got into the game a little bit more and kept possession, they didn't really do an awful lot with it. And I don't think there was any point where you felt like you were under siege or anything like that. It just felt like a game that was levelling out and playing pretty well. Now, the formation that they were playing and the way that Levine plays is Hearts are always going to be like that. They're going to be aggressive. They're going to be in your face. They're going to have plenty of possession. But we weathered it without any major problems. And again, I think that comes down to the defensive wall that we've got in place, you know, led by McKenna. We obviously lost Max Lowe to injury, but Shinny did a pretty decent job when he slotted in there. Obviously, was a left-back for a long time. I know there's a lot of people in Aberdeen support still see Shinny as a left-back. I thought it was a really tidy and accomplished performance. You've touched on the fact that they've had injuries, and they have been absolutely battered by them. We've been there ourselves, so we know what it's like. But it's still an important victory against a team that over the years we've not had particularly good form against. It's been better in the last couple of years, but for a long time Hearts really had our number. And we struggled to break them down, so it's really pleasing to see us get this result and actually really kind of coast it a little bit.
Well, I think there was probably one stage where Hearts seemed to have the upper hand. And the beginning of the second half, probably immediately after Max Lowe's injury. Now, hard to tell because we haven't had any diagnosis of his injury yet. But it seemed like a muscle pull, and it's the sort of thing that his parent club are unlikely to want us to risk aggravating in either the game on Wednesday or Saturday at Livingston. So I think that might be the last we see of Max Lowe in an Aberdeen jersey. What do you reckon, Martin, overall?
I think we're all huge fans of him. I mean, he's going forward, he's a better option than he is defensively. I think, you know, he's more of an attacking fullback, but I've been hugely impressed by him. I don't think there's any of us are happy to be seeing him going back to Derby. They've obviously watched him. I'm sure Lampard's had the videos sent to the games. Particularly, you know, I thought he played pretty well, decent enough in the final. Ibrox is the kind of games they're going to be watching against so-called bigger teams. So they're obviously wanting him back because they see him as, you know, a player who can add something to their squad going forward, which is a shame for us because he is, you know, there's a very good player there, and it's now, you know, Derek's got, you know, a bit of a challenge on his hand trying to if he's going to try and replace him, or do we just revert to having Considine there? You know, the January window is going to be certainly interesting in that aspect. If we bring in someone who can be of equal or slightly better option, I'm not sure that'd be something that's possible.
I just want to comment. I certainly criticised him a few times defensively, and if you look at the fourth goal against Dundee, he rather sells. He gets rather sold straight at the start of that move. There's a few other culprits, obviously, before Dundee get their consolation goal on Tuesday. But to be fair, in the bigger games, in the games against, you know, at Ibrox, in the League Cup final, he's shown himself to be a capable defender when he's concentrating on defending.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's an important trait to have. You know, I think that, you know, Lowe's going to be a hard one to replace. And I think that, you know, McInnes went out and got him because we needed cover there. Now, Considine's in at the back to replace Devlin. There's still question marks over Devlin, so I don't think there's any way we can just decide that Considine's going to go back out left until we know what's going on with Devlin. I think that left-back needs to be high on the shopping list for McInnes in January, whether he goes and gets another young player in on loan. We've seen that can be hit and miss. For every low, you've got a Wilson who's not performing particularly well. So, you know, I think that he has to go out and fill that gap. And I think it's one of those ones as well where a player like Shinny, and again, though that some people see him as a left-back, I think for me, Shinny's such an engine in midfield. And funnily enough, you know, you look through the games, it's always a sign that we're doing well that Shinny's not been booked for the last 4 games. And the last time he was booked was against St Johnstone when we were on the back foot. That for me is as much an indicator as the goals on the goal sheet is did Shinny get booked or not, because that's going to tell us how we did. it'll be an interesting one. Hard player to replace, young, energetic. I think Logan-like, when Logan had his first season with us, you know, attacked very well, but because those two players are quite attack-minding wing-backs, full-backs, then they can kind of cover each other as well. The defence has done a really good job of adapting. When one goes forward, the other one tucks in behind. So it's been flowing really nice. And I guess one of the things that we talked about before, about consistency and being able to put it in the same team, well, now we've got a problem potentially at left-back. And it'll be interesting to see what McInnes does. Obviously, we've got big games coming up. So, yeah, timing couldn't have been worse, to be honest.
Well, during the game, it meant Graham Shinnie going to left back and adopting the man marking role on Stephen Naismith that Max Lowe had been carrying out. Dean Campbell came on, which is obviously encouraging to see that he would choose 17-year-old Dean ahead of the likes of Gleeson and Forrester initially. But maybe this says a great deal about Shinnie, that it seemed as if we needed like one and a half or two players to replace Shinnie in the middle. We only really regained control of the match when we brought Gleeson on for Stevie May 10 or so minutes later, Martin.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, McInnes had spotted that, you know, fairly quickly, and then had to remedy it by getting Gleeson on. You know, Dean Campbell has, you know, in the moments he has played, and we've seen him play, you know, he's been impressive. But he came on and, you know, he didn't really seem to be up to speed with the game. There was a few moments where he just seemed to be kind of lost in the centre of the pitch. And perhaps that comes from not having someone like Shinnie alongside him just to give them that guidance. Shinnie, obviously, at left-back, you know, fulfilling that role there. And it was Hart, that was the point, I thought, where Hearts had certainly their better spells of the game. And they sort of came into it a bit more without ever really, really threatening Joe Lewis. So I think McInnes spotted it fairly quickly, made the change, you know, which was a sensible thing to do. Gleeson came on, and as soon as Gleeson came on, it was basically back to business, back to how it was for the previous parts of the game. And I thought that after that, you know, it was really time up for Hearts. There was no chance of them coming back into the game.
And sightings this week of both Chris Forrester coming on against Livingston towards the end. But more pertinently, Stephen Gleeson making a proper contribution, I think, to the win on Saturday. And that has to do with his confidence, which will have taken a big knock, some good Cameron.
Yeah, totally. And I think a player, you know, he hadn't played a lot of games before he came north, but we knew that he was a player that was capable. When I say he hadn't played a lot of games, he wasn't a regular, and I don't feel like he ever was. He needs to get games under his belt to get that consistency, and he came on and did a job and shored up that midfield. I think, you know, when Shinnie comes out of the midfield, Ferguson loses that mentorship, and I think Ferguson's been huge for us, but Shinnie's there guiding him through it as well. He's got that that sort of age on him, that captain mentality, that he can just control things and pull the strings from the centre. And I think that's always the risk that we face. And Gleeson strikes me as the sort of guy who will talk to the players around him. So even if he himself is perhaps not setting the heather alight, he can control the game verbally as well as physically. So I think he's a player that could be a big part for us, but needs to get game time and needs to get confidence. We need to see the match sharpness coming up. We know that the game in Scotland is a bit more frantic than it is down south. You get a lot more time on the ball. You just don't get that up here, and he needs to get used to that. But the only chance you get to get used to that is to actually play. So, you know, pleasing to see him come on, do pretty well when he did. But like you say, it'll be interesting to see how much he features over the next couple of games before the winter break. And then we've obviously got the Stenhouse Muir game when we come back in the Scottish Cup. So there's an opportunity there for maybe some of these other guys to take that game by the scruff of the neck and put themselves forward for a place in the starting team. Although we'll all dread playing Stenhouse Muir, that's another thing altogether.
Well, yes, there's always that shiver down the spine whenever that name's mentioned. The clinching goal, penalty kick, if anything, Craig Levein's Saturday evening grumping about the lack of penalties that Hearts got and our one being soft made victory even sweeter. And Sam's even taking them now, such as his confidence. Had a bit of wrestling match with Shay Logan about who was going to get the honours. And sometimes in those situations when you have two players of the same team arguing about who's going to take it, there's almost, you kind of feel there's an inevitable miss happening, but you didn't feel that on Saturday with Cosgrove, did you? He's just on it.
He is, yeah. And, you know, Logan, I can understand why Logan has wanted to take the penalty. You know, he's got three kids, it's Christmas, you know, presents need, goal bonus, presents need to be bought. But no, Cosgrove, you know, is the striker. He should be taking them. And yeah, put it away wonderfully. And it was so satisfying. And then the cherry on top is obviously Levine's whining about it. I mean, you know, his team, you know, there's one that's borderline possibly a penalty. Ours was definitely a penalty as well. Anyway, he's talking about our penalty being soft, you know. No, at times this season when Levine has been calling out referees and calling out these silly decisions, things like that, I've been a fan of his. But, you know, he is, you know, I mean, I'm a fan of people that are a bad loser because I'm a bad loser, but he just takes it to the total extreme. You know, they were consistently outplayed on Saturday. For him to even think that he said there wasn't much in the game. I mean, I really don't know what game he was watching then. He really needs to be locked up if he thinks that was a close game on Saturday. Because I think we were by head and shoulders the better team. And it just makes it so much sweeter that we managed to put them away. I know I love beating them. Absolutely love beating them.
We've got about 15 years worth of dubious Stephen Bressley awarded penalty kicks then at Tynecastle before they can even start to complain about Saturday's award. So 4 wins in a row. Big ask coming up on Wednesday against league leader Celtic. Now, it will be down to us to try and stop them this season. It has been for the last 4 or 5 years. This season won't be any different. Quick memo to the Glasgow press that the big game impacting the league race this coming week is not going to be at Ibrox, it'll be at Pittodrie. So, 6 points behind because they'll win their game in hand. It's against St Johnson at home. It's crucial as a minimum, Cameron, that gap doesn't widen.
Yeah, you'd like to think so. If we're going to be a contender in this, and if we're going to go into the January window looking with optimism and at a potential title challenge, even hypothetically, we need to at least get a point from this game. You touched on it earlier. The fact that this is at home is probably maybe the one thing that we've got. You know, Celtic's away record is 1-3, drawn 3, lost 3. They're not conceding a lot of goals. They've conceded 6 away from home, just the 4 at home. But, you know, at home we're doing pretty well. That's where we're scoring our goals. We've conceded 9, so, you know, we can expect we might well concede there. So I think we're going to have to score if we're going to get anything from it. I don't think a 0-0 is going to be an outcome here at all. And we do need a point just to keep ourselves in the conversation. And I think if you can do that, if you can win out, I mean, if you can win out, if you can beat Celtic and you can beat Livingston, then you go into January and you're looking to strengthen to push on and try and put a title challenge on. If you draw, then you go and strengthen to try and catch up some ground. If you're losing 6 points behind, or potentially 9, then you're in a situation where, you know, you're way out and you're almost fighting for a European place just, which is what we've been doing the last couple of years.
So there are reasons to be optimistic, Martin, definitely. Cameron touched on one of them. Their away form is not great. But I think also, you know, we've not been eking out these last few victories. There's a real genuine confidence about the way we're playing right now, isn't there?
There is, yeah. I mean, the last, you know, I thought, like I say, I thought Saturday was totally one-sided and we were by far the better team, same with the Dundee game. So there's lots of reasons to be positive, yeah. I mean, you know, they're going to, let's just say that the changes they make for other teams, I don't think they'll be doing that against us because they see us as, they see us as a challenge as much as they pretend that, you know, they think they're, you know, so far superior to us and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, they do have players who are, you know, in terms of quality, probably better than ours, yeah. But, you know, you look at the changes they made for perhaps the Hibs game the other week. That's not going to be happening here. They're going to be going full steam ahead, you know, for best available 11 to try and do us. There's not going to be any kind of soft changes or just kind of give this guy some minutes. Because they quite rightly, you know, because we have been and we are their challengers, they see us as a threat. But we have lots of reasons to be positive, as we've spoken about tonight. McLennan, great. You know, we've got guys like him who are, you know, just as we described Ferguson the week, a guy who's just a confident young player with no fear, totally gallus, wants to just get stuck in. And you know, it's going to be tough. It's obviously going to be tough because of the champions, the double treble winners, all that kind of stuff. You know, they've beaten us already this season, but At home, where we're scoring goals, playing well and beating teams, there's no better opportunity to turn them over.
So far this season in the games, Cameron, it's been 2-1-0 defeats. Celtic haven't created a great deal in those games, but they've done enough to win, clearly. The challenge now is to get a formation that allows us to be a bit more offensive against them, because the frustration obviously coming out of Hampden was that really we barely laid a glove on them in an attacking sense.
Yeah, and that's it. We need to score. We can't keep going in with nils against Celtic because we're never going to win. So, you know, it feels obvious saying, but it's a massive part of the game. The fact that we're at home. So I get the game plan in the final, and the game plan when you go to Glasgow does feel more like sit in and hit them on the counter. But I think you can't really keep doing that and expect to get the results you want to get. And again, touching on Conor McLellan, the one thing I feel about him is he's quite happy to have a go. And that's what we need to have if we're going to have any opportunity to go ahead here. We need to have a go, we need to hit on the attack, and you know, it's Boxing Day, it's to be quite a nice crisp day, there's not to be much of a wind, the sun's to be out, it's not to be too cold, so it should be a great day for football. Hopefully an absolute ram-packed Pittodrie. It looked pretty damn busy on Saturday, which is great to see. So you know, you want to make sure that it's absolutely filled to the rafters, get a great atmosphere going, and we've got to put Celtic under pressure. They don't like that, especially away from home, and they haven't coped as well with it. They haven't looked as lethal as they have done in recent times. Lee Griffiths obviously taking his time away, we wish him all the very best, but you know, obviously that's a big player for them in, on the attacking sense, that he's just not been around. And Eduardo's one of those guys, he's hurt or miss. To be honest, the player is obviously Christie's the one, whether or not he's going to be in and around for that will be interesting, but he's the danger man for them this season, and we know what he's all about. So you'd like to think that McInnes is set up to nullify that if that's a threat.
So Martin, if Maxwell does miss out, we've basically got three fit defenders. Does this make it a bit less likely that we might revert to just one up top? Or maybe if you have to lose Shinny from that midfield to fill in at left back, do you need, like we did for the last 40 minutes or last half hour on Saturday, that extra body in midfield almost to compensate for losing him?
It's a concern. I mean, against them, I wouldn't want to lose Shinny from midfield, because I think against guys like Scott Brown, who will be doing his customary, you know, 10 fouls before he gets a booking, as always seems to happen with us, you know, having someone like Shinny there keeps him in check a little bit. You know, you saw the bad feeling at the end of the cup final, where, you know, Scott Brown, having been on the pitch for, 15 minutes at the end, was still gloating over Shinny because of the end of the last season. I would hope that, you know, we could have Shinny in there, but I don't think we're not going to be playing three at the back, so we're going to have to take Shinny out of there. Someone like Ball or Gleeson is going to have to come in. Unfortunately, I do think, you know, we're probably going to end up playing one up front, which is a worry, because, you know, A, we're at home, and B, you know, we've been playing two strikers and we've been really, really successful with it. But when you're losing someone of the quality of Max Lowe and you don't have someone to come in, you know, we don't have, you know, Reynolds isn't available, Devlin isn't available, there's nobody with that experience to come in. It's a worry. So I think, unfortunately, we'll end up having Shinny at left back. We'll be packing the midfield with someone who can try and nullify their better players, and also, you know, maybe just kind of keep some of them in their box as well, which is a shame, but I think it's probably the right thing to do.
Okay, that's Wednesday. Probably a natural note of pessimism given fairly recent history against Celtic. But they are there to be got at, there's absolutely no question. And with the form that some of the guys are in, we just got to hope that we manage to overcome the injury issues that we've got and put some life back into this title race. Now, after Celtic, we go to Almond Vale. I'm not calling it the Tony Macaroni. So they have been formidable at home, absolutely fantastic at home. Celtic only drew 0-0 there. They beat the Rangers 1-0. Hearts got hammered, Hibs got beat. But unlike a lot of the teams, I think, who've played them, whether it be home or away, I thought we really opened them up repeatedly a couple of weeks ago. And because that game's still going to be quite fresh in our memory and their memory, that's got to help us, Cameron.
Oh, definitely. And I think that we've shown how to beat them. So you almost got to take their home and their away record out of it. But it's quite something when you look at it. You know, they've only conceded 3 goals at home. There's no team has conceded less than that in the league. And that's in 10 games. You know, Celtic have conceded 4 in one game fewer. Their away form is terrible. They've only won 1 game all season, but they're still sitting in that sort of top end half of the table. And nobody, I don't think, saw that coming at the start of the season. That home form is quite something. They've obviously got things right on the pitch. They know that Amund Vale, I'll go with you on that one. They know that pitch and they know how to play on it. So it will be a tough game. It will be a different game. It will be interesting because I think there'll be a big Aberdeen crowd there. I think there'll be as many Aberdeen fans as Livingston fans. I'm going through to this one myself. Obviously, I'm in Edinburgh, so I've got no excuse for not making that one. I'm looking forward to it, but I think it'll be a really tough game.
It's a plastic pitch also at Livingston, Martin. It shouldn't make it a difference, and it certainly shouldn't impact clubs to the point where Livingston's home record is so distinct from their away records, but it just almost mentally plays about with players' heads, doesn't it?
Sometimes I think that, I mean, you know, cliche time when people use the phrase the pitch is a leveller. I think sometimes that kind of that gets to people. No, it's not a great pitch. You know, we've seen countless times this season with the videos, with all the stuff popping up off the pitch, and you know, there's so much of the little black pellets and all that kind of stuff. It's the same. I mean, it's the same for both sets of players. And okay, yeah, they probably train on it and they spend all this time on that pitch as well. But you know, our record on the pitch at Rugby Park wasn't bad. So you know, it's not like these pitches are awful and we can't cope with it. You know, we've got talented footballers who train in the sports village. You know, the last time I was in the sports village, it wasn't grass inside there. So you know, they're used to playing on different surfaces. So I think that you're totally right to say it's a mental thing where people have some of the players have allowed themselves to kind of be distracted by that. You know, and okay, they did really well against Celtic and Rangers. Yep. But we have, you know, got a recent memory of we've given them a really good game. We beat them. We should have beaten them by a lot more, but we made a mistake and allowed them into the game. What that tells the players is there's no room for error in this one. It is a huge game before the break, so we need to be at 100%, you know, full concentration. And if we do that, let's be honest, if we are at our peak, then we should and we will beat them.
All right, well, that's a positive note to end things on, and that is our show for this week. So my thanks to Martin Clunas, thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
And to a very assured debut from Cameron Hobbs. Cameron, thanks.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so roll on Boxing Day at 2 p.m. and come on, you Reds.